Welcome to another episode of the Strength Training for Runners podcast. This is another episode where I've got an interview lined up, and on this occasion I've got two guests with me. I've got Mac O'Malley and I've got Zav O'Hare. I know both these athletes through my time at Trafford Athletics Club. In particular, I know Zav very well. He was one of my sports massage clients back when I was based in Manchester. I know Zav very well in particular, but both Mac and Zav have been based at Trafford for a long time now. I've gone through the ranks at Trafford and are very accomplished athletes in their own right. Max represented England in a home international meet back in 2018. Since then, has focused very much on road running, I would say, but we'll get Max's input on that in a moment. Zav actually represented England at the same home international meet, and since then has perhaps had more of a track focus with times such as 1:52 for 800 metres, 3:51 for 1500 meters, both still young athletes, only just out of the junior ranks, really. In fact, correct me, are you still a junior, Mac? Zav?
Yeah, first year under 23, so
yeah,
kind of, yeah.
Cool, so just coming out of the junior ranks, so still plenty of room for progression for both of these guys. But yeah, you've both been based at Trafford for a long time now, Zav. You've moved away from the setup somewhat now for university. You've gone to St. Mary's, but we'll just kind of start from the beginning and take it from there. So perhaps we'll start with you, Zav, when did you first get involved in the sport, and take it from there?
Yeah, so my background kind of started when I was about 7 years old. I kind of lived quite near to Trafford, the local athletic club, and kind of always wanted to get involved. So I went down and quickly realised that I'd be suited more to the middle distance running, and got involved with Neil Canham, the kind of main coach at Trafford, and kind of never really looked back since, getting involved with the group and just having a great time and having a lot of fun with it, really.
Cool. And how about you, Mac? Did you join the club at a similar time, or were you, I guess if Zav joined when he was seven, that's pretty young. So maybe you might have joined a bit later. I'm not too sure, to be honest. So if you fill us in on how it got started for you.
Yeah, so I was slightly later than Zav. Zav was obviously starting very young. I sort of played a lot of different sports when I was a kid, and started running when I was at school. So sort of first year of secondary school. And Neil Canham, who Zav's just mentioned, was a coach at my school, and he got me coming down to Trafford probably when I was 14, 15, and then I just went from there, really. So yeah, it's been quite a few years at Trafford, but really enjoy it.
Cool, good stuff. I might just talk a bit about my background as well, actually. So I also ran for Trafford back in the day. My first ever athletics club was actually a club which neither of you may have actually heard of, because it's a very small club, Hanforth Athletics Club. They don't produce a lot of athletes beyond quite a young age, really. But that's where I started. But because of the nature of that club, I looked to move elsewhere at a certain age. So when I was 14, I moved to Trafford. And yeah, I ended up being coached by someone called Roy Waters, who's not really involved in the club anymore. But before I kind of settled in his group, I was involved in Neil Canham's training setup as well. So I'm just going to recall sort of what I remember from the basic training structure from when I run, and it might be interesting to see if that tallies with what it looked like when you were going through the ranks, or whether it changed at all. So I seem to remember, I guess there were two main training nights back then, Tuesdays and Thursdays. On a Tuesday, especially in the winter, we'd basically just do a group tempo run. Maybe some of the younger ones would do about 4 miles. Some of the older ones would maybe do 6 or 7 miles. We'd all start together at a real slow pace and then just wind it up. And that would essentially be the Tuesday training session. And on Thursdays, certainly in the winter, it was typically a fartlek session. So it might be something like a 10-minute warm-up jog. And then I remember he had a bit of a rotation going on. So 1 week it might be 10 times 1 minute fast, 1 minute slow. Another week, it might be 30 seconds fast. I can't remember if it was 1 minute slow or 30 seconds slow, but there were shorter ones. And then in the third week, it might be 2 minute efforts with maybe 1 minute recoveries. I can't remember the details, but it was a lot of time-based fartlek sessions on the road, so along those kind of lines. And then often the group would, like certain people in the group would meet for a long, easy run on Sunday. And that was kind of the general. By the time I'd done a winter and I'd moved in onto the track season, I was under kind of the guidance of Roy Waters. So I only can really speak for his winter training setup, but I'd say that was a broad indication of the structure. Does that sound kind of familiar for you guys, or did he adapt it by the time you guys came along? Did things had changed at all? Just fill us in on what the training looked like, I guess. So let's start with Mac again, perhaps, and then see what Zav's got to say as well.
Yeah, so I think it's largely very similar to what you've just said there, too. Apart from training days, that because of the open meets on a Tuesday night at Trafford that we have, the training is on Monday and Thursday now. But the actual training itself is very similar. You know, it's largely time-based sessions, and they can be, you know, on the grass, on the road, on the track. And Neil quite likes to keep it quite simple in terms of the sessions we do. Doesn't want to overcomplicate things, especially given that he's got quite a large group of people, and they're often quite young kids. So, but I think he does like to keep it, you know, varied and enjoyable as well. So 1 week we'll be on the track, and the next week we'll be on the grass, and that makes you quite a versatile athlete, I think.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of beauty in just keeping things simple as well. You know, you can adhere to good solid training principles without overcomplicating things, for sure. So, yeah, anything to add on that, Zav?
Yeah, kind of just similar to what Max said. I think my memories of it have always been a lot of time-based stuff as well. I think just kind of honest work, but keeping it simple and not overcomplicating things. I think a lot of people, it's easy to get caught up in that and overanalyzing, but we kept it simple. We focused on making sure we were doing speed work, keeping us quick and sharp for the track, and equally, we'd then be going on the grass and doing, you know, hard cross-country sessions that would be quite long and muddy and difficult in that respect. But equally, you then be on the roads doing your tempos, your progressions, or a bit of everything. And I think we covered all bases with that kind of training philosophy. And I think it's something that definitely me and Mac have taken, you know, moving forwards, and something that we hold quite important to us, really. So, yeah, that's kind of similar to what Mac said. And obviously what you said as well, I think it's something that's kind of moved through all of us, really.
Good stuff. So obviously that's we've kind of had an insight in terms of the training philosophy, or the how Neil Callum tended to structure sessions. And Neil Callum's seen loads of talented athletes through the years. You know, we could reel off so many athletes he's coached, but of course there's been another person that's been quite influential, I would say, in that training setup as well at Trafford. And I think it would be important to mention Paul Shaw, who some of the listeners here might not be familiar with that name. But Paul Shaw's actually very similar in age to me. He's a couple of years older. So when I was running and going through the ranks, he was, you know, an athlete I knew and looked up to. And he was very much a cross-country specialist, I'd say. And he represented GB in the World Cross in, I believe, the year 2000. I think he was in the same team that Mo Farah was in. So he's got a lot of high-level experience to call upon. And I believe he got involved in the coaching setup for both of you at a certain point, maybe when you were in kind of your mid-teens, something like that. So if we start with Zav on this one, did anything much change when kind of Paul Shaw got involved? I know he was kind of working alongside Neil Callum, so there probably wasn't any, like, drastic changes to how things were done, but did you notice any changes in the way things were done then?
Yeah, I think similar to kind of what you said, he worked very much with Neil, and we kind of worked with them together. But I think we're really lucky to have Paul, because he kind of helped bring a new element to training that we hadn't had. And I think especially for me personally, on race day and leading up to the race and talking to him and building a bit of a strategy and a kind of plan for how you're going to attack the race and tactically how you would try and run, I think he was always really helpful for that mental aspect for me. But I think definitely in terms of the training as well, his approach to things was very, very much able to get the most out of us. And I think that really showed in the results that we were able to kind of produce off the back of that.
How about you, Max?
For me personally, Paul was massive to my development as an athlete. When I was 16, 17, opened up a whole world of new training for me. You know, Neil sort of introduced me to the sport and gave me so much
foundation. And then I moved to Paul and sort of just went from strength to strength. You know, I won my first county title under Paul, got a few England bests under Paul as well. And he's, you know, he's coached me for years now. He's coached me for 5-6 years, I think.
Is he still your coach now to this day? Yeah.
He's still. I think we were actually quite similar athletes, like you said there. Paul did the World Cross, and Paul was a, you know, really good cross country runner, and that's what I love. You know, I love running on the grass. So I think as athletes we were quite similar, though he was a little bit better than me. But no, yeah. So we get on really well, and we've got quite similar minds in terms of, you know, the training we want to do. So it's a really good partnership, I think.
Excellent stuff. So I believe Zav's coaching setup might have changed now, obviously, with moving to university. So we'll get onto that in a second. But as Mac, you are still coached by Paul. Might be interesting just to maybe have an insight into, like, fast forward into the present day. What does he train? Like, maybe like right now, say a typical training week right now, we're in, what, mid-October, start of winter training perhaps. What's your training like? Let's just have an insight into your training at the moment.
Yeah, so to tell you the truth, at the moment I'm struggling with a few niggles, and I'm sort of on and off running, so it's largely just easy running at the moment and just trying to get my body right. I've had, you know, a few niggles in my left leg, which has been, you know, an ongoing thing for a few months and quite annoying. But so we're just sort of working together to try and get through these niggles and then maybe attack the cross country season in the new year. But usually around this time of year, what we'd be doing is a lot of grass based work, a lot of grass sessions. So either once or twice a week, and then we'd probably jump on the track maybe to sharpen up or jump on the roads just to get that tempo working and build the endurance. And what Paul looks at is just building week on week and you know, consistent training, because that's what we know worked for me as an athlete over the years, is just building. Even if it's not, you know, that many miles, say if it's only 30, 40 miles a week, which for, you know, an athlete of my age isn't a massive amount. If I can build those weeks, then we know that I can get fit. So that's what it normally looked like in October. We'd be doing a lot of grass-based work and just a lot of endurance work.
Yeah. So are you quite a low mileage? Would you say quite a low mileage runner due to just trying to keep yourself healthy and injury free, or yeah?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm not the most robust athlete, so I'd say, you know, I'm looking at about 50 mile a week tops. Which, you know, for, I'm 22 now, and a lot of the athletes my age are doing double that. Doing it, but I don't think relatively it is.
Yeah. So let's just talk about that a little bit. Like, 50 miles isn't too bad, but like you say, some athletes at your age are up to kind of double that. You know, that it's not that uncommon for people to be doing 100 mile weeks by your age. So given that, do you tend to supplement it with cross training, or do you do strength training to supplement it, or is that pretty much it?
Yeah, so in the gym quite a bit as well. And something that Paul introduced training, which worked really, really well for me when I had break years on the cross country, which is something, you know, I'd like to encourage my own athletes to do, was a lot of cross training. So I'd be in the gym, you know, whether that's on the actual elliptical machine doing the cross training or on the bike, he'd be encouraging me to get in there, you know, 3-4 times a week. And just, even if I had a running session that day, I'd be in the morning just in the gym, just spinning over on the bike and you know, doing core work, doing strength training. And that was, you know, that was huge, and that was something that Paul brought into my training. And I think definitely for people that I want to coach, if they're a little bit like me, where they might not be the most robust, they might not be able to do all the miles, then it's such a valuable tool to be able to use, you know, to get those improvements.
Cool, excellent. So if we go to you, Zav, now, I think I'm right in saying this, like your coaching setup has changed now. I think, we've not really chatted about this, but before we went on air, I had a look at your profile on Power of 10, and it says you're coached by Craig Winrow now. So how have things changed for you, if at all, as a result of the change in coaching setup?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, massively. Obviously, the big one is just the location. I'm based in London in Twickenham. Obviously, massively different to Manchester, and we've got the luxury of Bushey Park and Richmond Park and some amazing places to train. So that's obviously the big thing. But and then of course the coaching setup, coached by Craig Winrow. Who has been really amazing since moving to university, and been very accommodating to me as an athlete, and making sure everything that I'm doing is very unique to me and looking at me specifically, which I think is massive as a coach, but also as you as the athlete. And I think for me, that's really helped me develop in the winter and develop my base training and making sure that I'm then ready to transfer that into my speed work and making sure when I hit the track, everything is where we'd want it to be, really. And I think that's really helped massively for me.
Cool. And Zav, Mac went into a few specifics over like the level of mileage he does. If we touch on that, what kind of mileage are you looking at these days?
Yes, I think for winter, I'm probably hitting about 40, 45 miles a week if everything's feeling well. But again, like I think running that can fluctuate massively. I think from that, in a kind of typical week, I'll be looking to get two good quality sessions in. We normally do like a Tuesday session, which is your minute sessions, which we kind of spoke about, which we would do with Neil. And that would be kind of your faster repetitions and intervals. And they're all changing in time and all that kind of stuff. And then we normally like to get a nice tempo in as well as the second session. And then around that kind of your easy runs, so making sure you're then recovering and obviously a nice long run on a Sunday and keeping a good bit of variety. And kind of what Max said as well, getting in the gym, getting your strength and your conditioning work and making sure you're doing everything possible to keep healthy, preventing injuries and cross training as well. It's been huge for me. I'm kind of similar to Mac in that I struggle with staying healthy because I think my body is quite naturally prone to injuries. And so I've kind of learned to be able to find different ways to stay fit whilst not having to run huge amounts of mileage and still getting great success from that. And I think getting on the bike, getting on the cross trainer, it's a great asset to training. I think it's something that's been hugely important to me as a runner. But yeah, I think as a typical week, that's probably what I'd say it looks like. And yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. So let's obviously the podcast I do is I tend to focus on talking about strength training and how we can use that to benefit runners, essentially. So you've both mentioned it a little bit. So but maybe if we carry on with you, Zav, for the minute, you did mention strength training there as part of it. Might be interesting just to go into a bit more specifics about what that looks like your setup at St. Mary's now. Is it kind of circuit training based? Do you guys get in the gym and lift weights? What kind of stuff do you do?
Yeah, so we're really lucky at the university to have a strength and conditioning coach who kind of oversees everything that we do, called Paul Lewandowski. He's been absolutely amazing, and I've worked closely with him the last couple of years, and he's been amazing. And so, massively, I'd say we focus on keeping our training programs very unique because I think everyone's very different in where they're at and what they need. But a lot of kind of base movements and looking at getting those powerlifting movements. So we'd be looking at kind of your squats, your RDLs, your deadlifts, obviously your core is massive, your glute, making sure your glutes are nice and strong. I think we do a lot of upper body work as well. I think a lot of runners tend to neglect upper body work because they think we're going to get all big and everything like that. And obviously no one thinks they want that, but you need to be strong. You need to have that. It's very important. We keep it very simple in that we keep the base movements and everything that you'd need to be strong and just working on slowly building on that and getting stronger. But I think we're very lucky at the university. We have access to someone who can kind of check that everything you're doing is correct. You got the right technique, you're doing the right amount of weight and everything like that that comes with it. So I think that S&C side of things has been crucial, and I think it always will be.
Yeah, good stuff. So how does that compare for you, Mac? Obviously, you're still based in Manchester. Are you at the University of Manchester, or are you just, or you have been and now you're working?
I've graduated now.
Yeah, cool. So was there strength and conditioning support at the university when you were there, or not really?
Myself, no, I've not been as lucky as Zav to have my own strength and conditioning coach. I wish I did, actually. So it's all relatively new to me in terms of lifting weights and, you know, getting in the gym and doing those things. But, I do enjoy doing it, and I think it's made a massive difference to my running when I've been in the gym. I was actually listening to one of your episodes, Tim, I think it was one of your older episodes from a few months ago.
Yeah.
About when you talked about the three core exercises, you talked about the hip thrusts and the Bulgarian, was it the Bulgarian squats and the rows?
Yes, correct, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, those sort of key movements, I don't try and overcomplicate it in the gym. It's quite similar to my running training. I do the key movement, just building up my strength that way.
yeah, better off doing simple stuff well rather than trying to overcomplicate things and end up making a hash of it, for sure. Obviously, you guys have known each other for a while, and at this point, I just want to talk about the fact that you've got into business together as well now. So you've been training partners, you've trained together for a long time. I guess you've been rivals to an extent as well, but now you're setting up a business together, running coaching, using your combined experiences. I think at this point it's also worth mentioning, Zav, you're doing a sports science degree at St. Mary's, so you can draw on all of that as well. Just for anyone who might be interested in checking them out, it's called MX Performance. I think you're certainly on Instagram at the moment, and I believe you've set up a website as well. MXperformance.co.uk, is that right?
That's right.
So anyone who wants to check it out, that's the website to go to. And I think if you just put MX Performance into Instagram, you will find it. And it's online running coaching business. Was this something you two have been looking to go into together for a while, or is it something you've just kind of recently talked about and just gone headfirst into it? Let's start with Zav on this one.
I guess it's probably more for Mac to explain, only because it was Mac that approached me initially. So back in, I think it was about February, we seem to never quite remember, but it was early on this year, and it was after Christmas anyway, that's what I remember. So I got a phone call from Mac, and he kind of said, look, I've had this idea of setting up like an online running coaching business. Is it something you'd be interested in, you know, joining me on the kind of journey of creating it and hoping, you know, taking it all off and seeing how it all goes and helping develop it all? And I guess we kind of never really looked back and just spent the last kind of 6 months-ish creating a website, creating and putting everything together and making sure we had everything as we'd want it to be, and designs, and kind of making sure we felt comfortable with what we'd be doing and how we do it, and kind of partnering up to start that kind of new journey together. But I guess that's my take on it. But I think Matt could probably explain, probably even before he called me, where the thought came from. So
that's right. For me, from a personal perspective as an athlete, coaching was crucial, really. You know, I started and I wasn't a naturally gifted athlete, I don't think. And as we mentioned previously, Tim, you know, Neil and Paul were, you know, huge to my running development and my development as an athlete. So I was always quite interested in the role of the coach and, you know, the relationship between the coach and the athlete. And I've always had a great relationship with, you know, the two people that have played a role in my running. So I've always wanted to try that out myself and put myself in those shoes. So I thought, you know, combining that with creating a little business for myself and Zav, and I thought there was no better person to approach than Zav on it, because I wanted some help on, you know, on how to get things running and someone with a similar philosophy to me on training and from running. And obviously I've trained with Zav for many years. So I thought I'd give Zav a call and see if he was interested, and he was. So we've never looked back since then, really.
Good stuff. I think I'll just go back to Zav and touch on it's for either of you to answer, I guess, but just on something Zav mentioned, the fact that you know, the two of you, it was obviously Mac's idea originally, but the two of you have been kind of working on it behind the scenes for, say, 6 months or so now, maybe a bit longer. And you just wanted to get everything in place first, make sure like the design and everything looked right, but also make sure you're clear on what you were going to be offering and how, what you're going to offer, what that looks like. So maybe, because obviously, you know, there might be people listening here that might be interested in your services, and they might be interested to know what that would look like. So let's actually touch on that. What would, if someone comes to you and is interested in being coached to you, how does it look? How do you go about it? And how would they get started with you?
Well, I think the easiest way is either through the Instagram or directly on the website itself. And once you're on the website, it's very simple. You kind of sign up and follow the process of that. And then essentially what we'll then set up is an initial consultation where me and Mac will be on a video call, similar to how we are now. And just basically it's going to be me and Mac going through a whole lots of questions, getting to know the individual, getting to know about them, their background, their life, what they do, how much time they have, what their commitments are, essentially trying to gather as much information we can and building a bit of a picture so that we can use that then to create a very specific and tailored training program. And obviously we're going to need to know a lot about their running, their background, their injuries, their goals, aspirations, and essentially all that information will be collected to formulate what will be their training program moving forwards, which me and Mac will then set. And it will then just be an ongoing process of us keeping in contact with them, giving regular updates. They can communicate with us as much as necessary, regular feedback, and just essentially updating that as we move forward. And hopefully, it's, you know, getting people moving, getting people running, and no matter what level they're at, it's about jumping to that next goal and hoping that we can get people achieving that. And that's what I think, that's what I, when Max spoke to me about it, I think that's what I was so excited about, the idea of, you know, getting people. We've been so lucky with the coaches that we've had that have, you know, influenced us and got us to these points. And I think we just want to be able to give back and hopefully get people to a good place and, you know, running fast.
Good stuff. So I've got a question related to, you kind of touched on it, I think, in what you just said there, but I'm just going to delve in a little bit more. And it's related to the two of you going into business and working together as coaches. So, and I've always been interested in this kind of dynamic when I've seen other, you know, there's other people that have set up running coaching businesses, and sometimes it's an individual doing it on their own. Sometimes it's a couple of people going into business together. And I've been interested kind of as to whether a particular member of that business would have certain athletes under their wing, if you like, and then the other partner in the business would take care of other athletes, or whether it's a case of two heads are better than one and you're both looking after the same athletes. And I think that's quite an interesting question for me to put to you two, especially given both of your experience in your coaching setups at Trafford, where you have worked alongside Paul Shaw, who has kind of worked in conjunction with Neil Canham. So you have experience of that kind of setup, I guess, where two coaches are kind of working together. Is it going to be a similar kind of dynamic there, or do you kind of see, and of course this might evolve over the years, you know, as you get more experience in your business, you might, you know, decide certain things work better than others, but do you see you both, but sort of both heads working on the same athletes and but contributing in different ways, or I guess you might have talked about this. I'll throw this one out to Mac initially.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. I think definitely from my perspective, it'd be more of a group thing, because me and Zav are able to bounce ideas off each other. We do have very similar training philosophies, but we, you know, Zav might know something that I don't. Zav, you know, for example, Zav's got the benefit of a strength and conditioning coach, so he might be able to get more involved with that sort of thing for our athlete. I think even, you know, setting up the business the last 6 months, it's been so beneficial to have someone else there. But, you know, if I said to Zav, right, I want to go and do this, he might come back and say, well, no, shouldn't we do it this way? And it works the same in coaching. You know, if we want to set the athlete, if the athlete has a particular goal and I want to go about it a certain way, I can then go to Zav and say, well what do you think, you know, and what can you add to this? And that's how we work together so well. So I think definitely having two heads there will be really beneficial for the athlete in terms of making steps to improvement and progress.
Excellent stuff. And have you got like a particular type of runner that you're keen to attract to the business, or is it more all and you know, all, I'm sure all runners are welcome, but do you have like a particular niche that you're looking to fill? We'll go back to Zav on this one first.
Yeah, that's another interesting point. In general, the answer is no. I think we want to be able to be, you know, like a global running club that can service for anyone and any needs and any level and ability. I think me and Mac both feel very comfortable that we can coach someone who has never run and is looking to complete their first 5K, all the way up to someone who's looking to make a Great Britain team, an international team. And I think that's the exciting part. And I think, you know, we could both agree that we'd get an equal buzz out of seeing someone finish their first 5K as we would seeing someone, you know, go and run internationally for their country. I think that is the satisfaction you get as a coach, that you can kind of have a very broad spectrum. And I think that's what's really exciting, that, you know, one day we're setting a training program for someone looking to break 30 minutes for 5K, and then you switch into someone looking to break 14 minutes. And I think that is such an exciting idea. And I think that's what we love about the idea of all of this. So yeah, totally. Anyone and anyone looking to progress in running, and that's what we're open to.
Yeah, I heard that. I know. Obviously, you know, the excitement of someone achieving at a very high level is obvious. You know, it doesn't require much explanation, but someone at a lower level, you know, oftentimes has a greater journey ahead of them, rather than taking on someone who's already operating on a high level and you're just trying to achieve small marginal gains. Whereas someone coming in with less experience, less ability, you know, you can take them on a potentially a much, much bigger journey. So that is equally, if not sometimes more exciting and rewarding and enjoyable.
100%, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else you want to add on the business in general, either of you, that we've not kind of touched on yet, or have we kind of cracked it in a nutshell?
Just think, one thing to add to what Zav mentioned before in terms of the process of signing up. Once the athlete has signed up, what we have is an app called Training Peaks, where that's the thing we set the training through. This is an app on your phone. Basically, we set that on a monthly basis, so you get a training plan for the whole month, and it'll, you know, that's obviously catered to your goals. So the thing we want to counteract is, for especially for beginner runners, if they're going to do the first 10K, or maybe they're doing a marathon for charity or something like that, you can go online and you can find a training program for free. You know, you can search it, you can type it into Google, training plan for a 10K, get it for free. You can get it in 30 seconds as well. But what we offer is, you know, something completely individual. They write, which 10K, when is it going to be, and what's your life like? So what, you know, what are your key goals going forward for that 10K or afterwards? And how are we going to fit the training in and around, you know, work, family life, and all the rest? So that's what we're going to be able to offer. And through the app Training Peaks, you know, it's dead easy for people just to go on the phone and think, right, what have I got today? Well, Zav and Mac have set me a 5K easy run, so I'll go and do that. So it's a really easy medium through which we can set the training. I don't know whether Zav had anything to add on that. I think I just wanted to make sure we mentioned there's a point of that's how the training will be set to people.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the one thing as well is, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening and people in general that aren't sure about these things, and it might be a new thing for people, or they have questions, and we have a contact form on the website itself. You can message us through Instagram if you have any questions about you as a runner specifically, or anything about getting involved, and we'd be more than happy to help. And I think we're just very excited about moving forward and getting involved with people, and hopefully changing the way people approach their running. And you know, that's what it's about.
Excellent stuff. Interesting, quite interesting for me that you mentioned Training Peaks. I've never used it. I do a lot of my work with people in person. So the bulk of my training business is in personal training, and also sports massage. So I do have a bit of an online thing going on with the strength training side of things, but the most of what I do is in person, whether it be strength and conditioning sessions for runners at my gym, or sports massage, or whether just general population personal training. But yeah, mostly in person. So I've not really experienced using Training Peaks or any of the other similar types of things that are out there, but I have heard about them a lot. I'm aware people use it. So it might be interesting just to talk about that a little bit more. Like, is it a case, obviously you set the training and it's for them to view on there. And then is it a two-way thing as well? Do they kind of, like, is there stuff for them to fill in on there, how the training, like how they felt or what times they hit, would it be you kind of contacting on WhatsApp and stuff like that as well, or does Training Peaks manage to encompass everything all in one place, so it's kind of nice and tidy and it's all there?
Yeah, so I would say firstly, I've been using Training Peaks for kind of the last 3 years. So at the university and the setup we have that I'm coached under, we use Training Peaks, and I use it as the receiving athlete, but I'll often see it from the coach's perspective when we're looking at setting training. And essentially the way it works is the coach will put on what you're going to be doing onto the Training Peaks, and then that will then come onto my phone or laptop or any device that you have logged into Training Peaks. And then essentially what happens is if you have a watch, then when you complete your run, your watch will link up with Training Peaks, and it will essentially transfer it onto there. So there's similar ones like Garmin Connect, Strava, those are the kind of similar ones, but Training Peaks is very much specific to the coach and the athlete. And so then you can give feedback on how the session went. So you can say, you know, it went well, I felt great for this reason, or vice versa, I didn't, you know, and basically give a bit of a breakdown of how that went. And then the coach can come back and give you comment on that, you know, that's great, the training went well, here's what we're going to do moving forward, or let's have a conversation, things might not have gone as well for this reason. And it's a bit of a great way to give feedback. And like you say, it encompasses everything all in one place. So you can do your run, and us as the coaches can break down and analyze what's on there, and give you feedback. And likewise, the athlete as well can give feedback on how they felt during it. And I think that's what's the brilliant kind of side of it, is that, yeah, it encompasses everything all in one useful place.
And that's pretty cool what you said about it, just like the syncing with your watch. I guess, you know, that with technology as what it is these days, you know, that's not to be, maybe not, shouldn't be too surprised about that, but it's a very cool feature, because it just, I guess it makes it very easy for the user to use as well, which is going to be massively important for adherence.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to mention, though, that if people don't have watches, which I think a lot of people starting out running, they won't have a running watch, and it's not necessary, but you can simply put in the amount of time that you ran for. So if we set you like Max said, a 5 kilometer easy run, you can say, well, I've done my 5 kilometer easy run on my phone, and I did it in, you know, 30 minutes or what, completely whatever, and you can enter it all in manually. So there's no requirement to have a watch or anything syncing with it, which I think is really nice. It gives you the best of both worlds, and it allows people of all different abilities and involvements in running to be able to use the app in that kind of successful way.
Good stuff. Cool. So definitely check MX Performance out, everyone who's listening, you know, whether it be the website or Instagram. I think we've had a pretty good insight into how that's all going to work there through the, you know, the initial questionnaire, the Training Peaks, all sounds awesome. But let's kind of wrap things up by just going back to you as individuals again. And we've talked a lot about your past and a little about your current training. Let's maybe just talk about like what your goals as individuals going forward as well, like what are you hoping for this coming season and stuff like that. So Mac, have you got anything maybe for the next year ahead that you particularly want to achieve time-wise or anything else?
Yeah, so no particular races that I've got planned as of yet, just because at the moment I'm trying to work through my niggles, and just my main goal at the moment is just to get consistent running, by the end of the year. If all goes well, and I'm, you know, if I'm training consistently by the new year, then I'd hope to be getting some PBs. So I'll be looking at going sub 70 in the half, so under 1 hour 10. I'm definitely going to look to focus on the half now. Now I'm a little bit older, because I've only actually done one, and it went really well, and I really enjoyed it at the time. And then maybe look to get a 10K PB as well. So at the moment, my 10K PB is 32:41, I think. Maybe looking at going under 32 and getting as close to 31:30 as possible, which I think with the consistent training and hopefully working closely with Paul on that, I'll be able to do. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Good stuff. And, of course, you know, you're both still pretty young and you're talking about a half marathon distance. Do you see yourself eventually moving up to the marathon, do you think, or not necessarily?
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary prospect, but I would like to do one. Yeah, definitely. Maybe not for a few years, though. I think I'd like to really tackle, and I also do quite a bit of fell and mountain running as well, and that's what I usually spend my summer doing, because what I find is I'm not as quick as guys like Zav on the track in terms of leg speed. So, you know, when he can do his quick 800 and 1500 times, I've never been quite there, so I much prefer to get out on the mountains and just work, you know, and work up the hills, which I find I'm really good at. So I'd like to get back to doing that as well, doing half marathons, and then maybe look towards a marathon in the next 5 or so years.
Good stuff. How about you, Zav?
Yeah, so I think for the winter, it's definitely about building a nice strong base that I can use for the summer. I think I'd love to try and get involved at all the big championship races for cross country. And I think a big goal of mine, which Mac's done on a few occasions, is running for the north of England. I've always wanted to do that personally for me. So hopefully that's something that I can kind of tick off this winter at some point. But I think then for the summer, I think it's always for me about just getting personal bests across the board. Obviously that's easier said than done, but I want to, you know, 1500, 800, even 3K. I'd love to try and get a new personal best in all of those and really just get involved in you know, the English champs, the North of England champs, and really try and position as highly as I can. And then hopefully in the years to come, that could translate into some international vests if all goes well, and just consistently build on what I'm doing, and yeah, try and run as fast as I can.
Excellent stuff. Cool. So we might wrap things up there. So obviously, best of luck with the business. Best of luck with the, you know, progressing your times and North of England champs, England champs, whatever it may be, getting those high positions. And we've mentioned the business name MX Performance. You can follow it on Instagram, but also give Zav and Mac a follow as individuals as well. Xavier O'Hare, Mac O'Malley. You'll find them both on Instagram. Give them a follow. Follow their progress as athletes as well, in addition to their business. It's been a pleasure speaking with you both. It's been really insightful to talk about training, talk about training peaks, setting up the business. Thanks for coming on board.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks for having us on.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.